You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Wisdom hath built her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, on Friday night I had an interesting experience. I was sleeping in my bed, and I heard this noise. It was very early in the morning. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I heard this noise. I thought, someone's trying to break into the house. And, you know, when you're tired, you think, oh, what's going on? And as soon as it dawned on me that, yes, this is the possibility of a break-in, I just jumped out of bed, turned all the lights on to hopefully scare whoever was trying to break into the house away. And then I came into the kitchen, and there on the window was a big raccoon scratching away, trying to rip down the feeder that was on the window, you know, trying to get his teeth into all of this sunflower seed and stuff. It was a mix, actually. It had peanuts and other stuff in there. And he was a big raccoon. He was a big guy. Wow, he was huge. And as soon as he saw me, he hissed at me, jumped to the ground, and boom, he's gone. But that was my experience. But it is a fright, isn't it, to think at first someone's trying to break into your house. That is quite a frightening thing. And, well, there's other things I can say about what I did to get ready for that. But anyway, that's for another day. I don't want to give too much away about that. cool. But, yeah, so we're getting rid of all the feeders now. That's one reason to get the feeders off the window, because Mr. Raccoon, we called him August, because he comes in August usually. But looks like he's sticking around. So he might have to change his name. We may need to have to trap him. I don't know, and then relocate, or trap him and give him a lead aspirin. I'm not sure, but he's a bit of a problem. But all the feeders are off the windows now, and the hummingbirds are gone. And but we're gonna. I'm starting to get rid of the feeders on the bird feeder area that we've got under the tree, away from the windows, and maybe we can see some cardinals come back in again. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, and all that thou hast given us in this life, the enjoyment we have of the creation. And Lord, as we go through the book of Proverbs, we thank thee for the lessons that we're learning, the tremendous picture of Lady Kokhma, her wisdom coming to us, the Lord's wisdom coming out of his mouth. And if we want to increase our wisdom, we must ponder the words of God for their spirit and life. And we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, right. Well, I've got this hymnal open because I really love this hymn, number 470, Jesus is all the world to me. But what I love is the emphasis in the chorus, he's my friend. You know, when you think of how within the Christian faith, we approach God as our friend in the person of Christ. You know, Christ is our friend. He took on flesh and he dwelt amongst us in a way that we can now appreciate God, that we could not in any other way. We may put it in some sort of scientific form by saying that God came down on the wavelength of man, and however you want to express it, the Word became flesh. That's what the Scriptures say. And by Him doing this, we have an appreciation of God that we as creatures could never have without that. And it's a great hymn, that's when you ponder the words here. Now, okay, last time we were in chapter 8, and chapter 8 really is one of the more magnificent chapters. I hope you read it through, all 36 verses. I didn't get through all of them. But there we have the personification of wisdom, which takes you right back to creation and before. And where you have these things said, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life. This is right near the end of chapter 8, verse 35. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Boy. You know, that's really... And if you think of the ultimate expression of wisdom, of course it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you that hate Jesus Christ, well, then you love death. Sorry. That's the summary of that. And we'll find the truth of this coming up over and over again. Don't you see this in our current group of politicians and the world at large as they move further and further away from the biblical Christ? They begin to bring doctrines that love death. And we are so thankful, aren't we, that we have Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Now, as we get into chapter 9, we get into some really cool things about wisdom. And here we are, right here in chapter 9. It's divided again. It's wisdom's call is mentioned in here again, continuing into chapter 9. And then there is the foolish woman coming in verse 13, appropriately verse 13 to verse 18. So wisdom's call is continuing out of chapter 8. We just read the last portion of chapter 8. And now we're into chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. Now, when you think about this expression, that wisdom, Lady Chokmah, she's builded her house, it's done, she looks at a finished work, and we can see how complete it is, because it says, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Right? And this seven is always associated with God's number of completion. On the seventh day, God rested. And when you look at how seven is used in the Scriptures, it's used over and over again. The Apostle Paul uses it in a most magnificent way. And if you go back to chapter 8, verse 30, you see, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And this brought up here is meaning like someone who is working with him, as like a chief architect. He is the chief architect. And not only does he build, he maintains, and he looks back at a completed work. And this is something that I've begun to really recognize in the Bible, that there is this idea of a going out to bring people in and to rejoice over a completed work. And we find the most magnificent statement about the completed work by the Apostle Paul, who says, "For we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Isn't that interesting? The head of all principality and power. He is the chief architect. It comes back to this idea of the wisdom and its expression. Seven is mentioned in terms of wisdom in James 3:17, where you find all these properties of wisdom, seven of them. And in Revelation 1:4, there's the seven spirits, there's the seven churches. You find the completeness of God's purposes in seven. I took this off Welsh's book, In Heavenly Places, just to see how many times the word seven is used in his magnificent book, In Heavenly Places. If you haven't read Welsh's book on the book of Ephesians, it's called In Heavenly Places by C.H. Welsh. You need to read it. I mean, whether you agree with every single thing, that is not important. The important thing to see is that there's a tremendous picture in here of the completeness of God's purposes and how that completion comes in the revelation of the mystery given to us. And so here you've got seven branches of doctrine, seven branches of practice. You get the idea and wealth of theory, if you like, and then theory put in place, the deportment. And both are important in the Christian's life, and Paul addresses it. Seven, absolutely important. This is not so clear. Seven doctrinal parts of Ephesians. The new revelation resting on the one foundation of salvation by grace. Here's another one of his pictures to do with seven. Right? Here you have the wonderful love and fullness that's pictured here. This wonderful balance of truth. It's all there. Let's look at Proverbs 9, verse 2. She hath killed her beasts. What is that for? That's in the context of a celebration. She hath mingled her wine. That's interesting. Mingled wine. What is mingled wine? Well, mingled wine has to do with adding herb to wine. Now, we're not drinkers of wine, and we don't have anything against wine, because if we did have something against wine, we'd be having something against the revelation of Scripture. Right here, notice what Lady Wisdom does with wine. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, added herbs such as myrrh to this. She hath also furnished her table. It's all good to go. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. This is a welcome to a feast. And she sent out her representatives to call people in. Something is here more than what you see on the surface. There's a lot more going on here than surface level wisdom. Wisdom here has a time of rejoicing and fellowship around a completed work. And that's why you find the book of Revelation, and also pictured before in the Gospels and in Paul's Acts ministry, there is the notion that there is going to be a gathering to a celebration. The marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to happen. Matthew 22. We won't read it all, but Jesus answered, spake unto them again by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Here it is. Here is the bidding. Servants going out. Apostles moving out. Gathering people in. There it's going to happen. This wonderful time. The marriage supper of the Lamb coming. If you look down further in verse 4 of Proverbs, it says, "Whoso is simple..." Well, what does that mean? Naive, man! Boy, do we have a lot of simpletons around today. absolute simpletons. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread. Now, it's in the context of the celebratory eating, but don't you think it's kind of interesting that the Bible should say, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled? Here we have bread, mingled wine in this context. Well, wait, let's just go on a little bit here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Written to the nation of Israel, and chiefly those that we be put in places of great responsibility, there is a purpose of God in relationship to the kingdom, and around this kingdom there is to be a celebration of a finished work. And how is that finished work going to be accomplished? Do this in remembrance of me. Right? There is a great fellowship there. Something that's done in common. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The New Covenant had this. But what does Lady Kokhmah do for us? After all, we read in chapter 8 of Proverbs that she's all about the right things and excellent things. She's all about right division to bring us to the excellent things. What are the excellent things? Well, it says this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship. The fellowship, koinonia, the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is this God in flesh who exhibits the great wisdom of Lady Kokhmah, who was there at the beginning before all these things came into being. He was the expression of wisdom creating all things. It's here, friends. And was wisdom ever not a part of God? Was there ever a time that God did not have wisdom? Of course not. He must always have had wisdom. And therefore, the Word must have always been with the Father. Always. But here we have something interesting. We have, on the one hand, the gathering in of people, the great picture of redemption under the new covenant, the fellowship around the emblems, the bread, the wine. But what does Lady Kokhmah bring us to, and her rejoicing about right things and wisdom? Right here. Here is the great fellowship. The fellowship of the mystery. It's a great truth, friends. Great truth to understand. Now let's keep on reading down here. It says this in verse 5. Come, this is Proverbs 9:5. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. Of course, because in finding wisdom, you'll have life. Ultimately, those people who seek the truth, seek wisdom, will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. And go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame. There's interesting examples that you'll find given in the companion Bible for this. But this is kind of like a practical thing, right? And in season, you've got to be careful how you implement words. Is this the right time to say this to a scorner? Well, in the wrong season, you're going to have problems. And here is a good warning. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot, a blemish. There are times when reproving a person when they're in the action of being out of control will bring nothing good to you, because they are not thinking. They have not engaged wisdom. And if you try and reprove them while they're in that state, I'm afraid you're going to get a blemish on you, because they're not going to listen. They won't listen at all. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Isn't that interesting? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. I mean, you're not going to make any progress with someone who hates you. It's not going to happen. They will not listen. They will just continue in their hateful foolishness. Rebuke a wise man. Oh, now look at this. And he will love thee. that's an interesting right, because that brings you right down to the depth of your soul. What are you really about? If you're a wise person and a good rebuke comes to you for something you've done, and you didn't realize that, and you say, "Oh, thank you for that." Right? Thank you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Yeah. In the company of wise people, man, you can be quite plain, and you can come down to the truths in a plain fashion. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. Isn't that interesting? That real biblical Christianity, real biblical truth, comes down to understanding. We want understanding. That's why I believe in right division, my friends, because it fronts up to the reality of the scriptures and truth. I want understanding. I'm sure you do too. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, it's a beginning. And that fear of the Lord will say, "Well, who is the Lord? Who is this? Who is the Lord, and what does he want from me? What is his will?" It's the beginning, right? It's the beginning. You don't want to stay there. You want to take that fear of the Lord, and then you want to answer those questions. You want to find the answers to those questions which come from wisdom and understanding. And the words of God's mouth are wisdom. What are those words? Here we have a man. We've got to search and see. Find out what God has. Write the vision. For by me thy days shall be multiplied. Now when it says multiplied here, it means in greatness of stature, in brevity, in the fact that you have more done per day. And the years of thy life shall be increased. In that sense, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. Now that's an interesting idea. Here is the first point. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Wisdom comes to you personally. You work it out. You find it. You rightly divide. You, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, right? A workman. You've got to work it out for yourself, and you benefit. Now, you can help others with that benefit, but you can't make them wise. You cannot do it. It's going to have to be that each individual person is going to have to come to the scriptures and say, "Aha, yes, got that. I see that. I see it." And then you'll hold that wisdom yourself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. If thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it by yourself, all alone, alone. You won't be consolable by other people. Unfortunately, you're going to have to bear it yourself. A foolish woman is clamorous. That's an interesting word, clamorous. Loudly murmuring. Look at this. A foolish woman is clamorous. Now, why is it going to the foolish woman? Because it's in contrast to the wise woman. You say, "Well, the Bible's all about bashing women." No, it's not about bashing women. It's all about this contrast between the lady wisdom and the lady foolish. Right? A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She is simple. You know, loudly speaking. Have you ever seen someone like that, lady or man? When they get all loud and their brain is not engaged, man, it's stupid. It is naive. It is simple. And they're making a fool out of themselves. Now, we've got the squad and others like that doing the same kind of stuff. A whole bunch of foolish women. She is simple and knoweth nothing. You say, but Wayne, that's nasty. No, it's not nasty. It's just facing up to the facts of what's going on. We have naive people trying to rule over us, and they do not have wisdom. They do not have it. They need to start with the man of wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Now you remember, Lady Wisdom is also in high places and calling people in to examine this finished work. Examine this great finished wisdom of God, this creative work that God is doing. And now we've got the contrast here. Someone else trying to call people in, to call passengers who grew right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There is some truth in that, but the end thereof is right down to the end of this, the depths of hell. There is some truth in that. As a kid, I can remember doing this. I can remember being enticed by the next door neighbor's fruit trees. And boy, did those things taste good when you stole them out of the tree. They seemed to taste nicer. You know what I'm saying? As a kid, I can remember. There is a place in New Zealand, I don't know, some of you might have the opportunity to go to New Zealand at some stage, and it is a beautiful country to visit. But there's a place in Auckland, New Zealand, where, if you know anything about New Zealand, it's just got volcanic vents everywhere. All over Auckland City, there are volcanic vents. Mount Albert, for example. So you find all these Mount Wellington. So all these mount names, because there are mountains there that are basically volcanic vents. Who knows, one day they might become active again. But from these volcanic vents spewed out all this volcanic stuff, which degraded with time and formed the soil. And the soil there is generally beautiful. You talk about, man, it's easy to work. You can easily put your shovel in there and it just nicely breaks up. Anything you stick in the soil, bang, it just grows. And I can remember as a kid going to school. I used to go to a school there called Mount Albert Grammar. And I used to get off a train and walk about, I don't know, probably about a mile or so to the school. And you'd walk past all of these houses. I used to think myself as someone coming from an area which had a lot of farmland, which was pretty good, pretty fertile, but not as fertile as this Mount Albert. I always thought, man, what a pity that all this beautiful soil is covered in concrete and asphalt and everything else. Because if you go past the houses, their backyards would have all these trees of orange trees and mandarin trees and grapefruit trees and all kinds of, and they were laden. And the people in the homes, they couldn't eat it all. It would just fall to the ground and rot there. You know, it was just laden with all these things. And this reminds me of this here, you know, when it's eaten in secret, it tastes better. There is this, and you can always say to yourself, "Oh well, they don't want. They've got plenty. They don't want it. It's just falling to the ground. You know, just falling to the ground." Now, so in verse 16 it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Boy, it's straight down to hell, isn't it? Just like we saw in the end of chapter 8, all they that hate me love death. Wonderful contrast here between the two. And wonderful truths about God's wisdom and this idea of fellowship that God has as a means of revealing His will, this idea of fellowship exhibited, for example, in a banquet, exhibited in the idea of calling people into this great thing where the creative acts of God are remembered. And so we too have a fellowship of the mystery that we are trying to gather and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We want to bring them in so they can rejoice with us. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've got together, Lord, in this great book of Proverbs. And Lord, that we can see all these wonderful contrasts that build on this notion of wisdom, God's wisdom. And as we understand more about God's wisdom, we see the plan in the Scriptures and the common things in the Scriptures and the things that are right as we rightly divide. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.